Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is time that we might begin our service this morning. So if you would turn to 358, and while you're turning your pages to that, your songbooks to that page. So would you please stand as we sing this song, page 358, Prince of Peace. Most kind and most loving Father, we desire to come before Thee this morning to give You thanks for the many blessings of life. We're grateful for this beautiful day that we have, that we might come before Thee and worship Thy holy name. I pray that You might forgive us in where we have sinned before Thee. Where we have fallen short, Father, I pray that You might strengthen us and help us in our lives to be able to overcome all things that we might be able to be with Thee. Oh, Father, I do pray that You would be with us this day as we, those who will stand before us, as Bob would bring forth those things in which You have presented to him within his heart and mind. I pray that You prepare our hearts and our minds to receive those things with gladness. I do pray, Father, that You would be with us as we hold up a little one before Thee. We're grateful, Father, for the blessings of life and the promises that come from Thee. Oh, Father, I do pray now that You're, and do invite that Thy Spirit would be with us in power and strength, that as we desire to honor Thee this day, that Your presence would be with us. Now, Father, we do thank You, and we pray these things in the blessed name of Thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to 325 for our second song this morning, 325. Again, would you please stand as we sing this song?
Thank you.
Well, this morning we have a the promises of God to the children of men through the union of a man and a woman dedicated to follow the precepts of God, that he would bless them, and that they would be fruitful, and that they would multiply, and he would bless them in their lives. I'd like to present to you now our pastor, that you be mindful of him in prayer, and as he stands before us to impart the word of God, that we would prepare our hearts to receive those words. Now I give to you our brother and pastor, Bob Hedrick.
Appreciate that. I do appreciate your prayers as well. It's always a challenge when we stand behind this desk to desire to only please our Lord with the things that we would present. So, of course, that was a kind of hard act to follow with that little child. I guess I'm kind of partial to her too, so hope you don't mind. I do have a few thoughts I'd like to bring to you this morning, to hopefully for your edification. I find, and I don't know if my brothers in the ministry feel this way as well, that often when we sit down to study, as I did last night, to know what to preach this morning, that often the leadings of our thoughts are led into something that we stand in need of as our own human self. And so the more I studied, the more I realized it was for me. But I feel like it's something that's for all of us as well. I'd like to start reading out of a history book. And hopefully it's something that we all know. And I'm going to read a couple pages here. Hopefully it won't be too boring and drawn out, just to set the stage. This is the history of a church, our church. Chapter 2, this is the volume 1, and I'm starting on page 7. And this is Joseph Smith's account of his early life. So I'm going to read and start reading in the seventh page 7 and read for a little bit just to familiarize ourselves with this. It says, "I was at this time in my 15th year." It means he was 14 years old. He hadn't had his 15th birthday yet, but he was in his 15th year. He has, before this, I didn't want to read too much, but before this, he had just moved, the family had just moved to Manchester, New York, and they'd been there a couple years, and there was a kind of a religious revival going on. "My father's family was proselyted to the Presbyterian faith, and four of them joined that church, namely my mother Lucy, my brothers Hiram, Samuel Harrison, and my sister Sophronia. During this time of great excitement, my mind was called up to serious reflection and great uneasiness. But though my feelings were deep and often pungent, still I kept myself aloof from all these parties." He didn't join any of them. He kept himself separate, desiring to do what was right. "Though I attended their several meetings as often as occasion would permit, but in process of time, my mind became somewhat partial to the Methodist sect, and I felt some desire to be united with them. But so great was the confusion and strife among the different denominations that it was impossible for a young person, young as I was, and so unacquainted with men and the things to come, to any certain conclusion who was right and who was wrong. My mind at different times was greatly excited. The cry and tumult was so great and incessant. The Presbyterians were most decided against the Baptists and the Methodists, and used all their powers of either reason or sophistry to prove their errors, or at least to make the people think they were in error. On the other hand, the Baptists and the Methodists, in their turn, were equally zealous to establish their own tenets and to disprove all others. In the midst of this war of words and tumult of opinions, I often said to myself, what is to be done? Who of all these parties are right? Or are they all wrong together? If any of them be right, which is it, and how shall I know it? While I was laboring under the extreme difficulties caused by the contest of these parties of religionists, I was one day reading the Epistle of James, the first chapter and fifth verse, which reads, anybody know what it is? I hope. If anybody asks wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what I'd like to start with today. In James, in the first chapter, in the fifth verse. This James, who was an apostle there in Jerusalem, he was extremely respected by those that were there. He wrote this epistle, this letter, to the church for everyone's edification. So I'm going to start with the fifth verse, and it says, if any of you lack wisdom, is that anybody here? Boy, it's sure me. If anyone's lacked wisdom, lacked knowing, you know, which way to go, what to do with our life, how to lead my family, decisions to make about the house and education for our kids and everything. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what we're supposed to do. That's who we're supposed to approach. He is that source that giveth to all men liberally. Who does that exclude? Women? No. Just joking. All men liberally. That means it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, that when you come to Him, He will give wisdom. He giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. That's a promise. That's a hope that we can say, you know what, Lord, if we go to Him, He's made a promise that He'll give us that. Who here has felt that need in their heart and asked for wisdom and you got done and well, I don't feel any different. What happened to Joseph Smith after he prayed that prayer? Well, he went out in the woods and once he read it and they determined to do it, he went out in the woods and had a vision. I've never had a vision, I have to admit. I've asked for wisdom. But does that mean I didn't get wisdom? If I didn't get a vision? I don't believe it does. But, in the sixth verse, I have to keep reading. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Ow. That kind of hurts. We always like to think of ourselves as, yeah, we're pretty good. We're not perfect, but we're pretty good, and I'm trying to do what's right. But he cuts pretty well to the quick, saying, if you're going to come ask me, trust me. Believe me. We find ourselves sometimes being that wave of the sea, saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do what you want to do, and I'm going to do it all the way, and we're up on that top of that peak, and then we get back down, and then we says, well, I think I know this way. I know what I'm going to do this way. No, I'm going to go, you know, it's that double-minded man. Yeah, I want to do what God wants me to do. And I also want to do what I want to do. And sometimes those things are not compatible. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're like the waves of the sea going up and down. Up and down. How many of us spiritually feel like sometimes we go up and we go down? We go up, we go down. Realizing that if we're doing that, we're unstable. And then our prayer for wisdom, we says we're not to expect an answer. Because the Lord has wisdom. He has it and He's willing to give it, but He expects us to seek it with full purpose of heart. Nothing wavering. Not that, well, I want this wisdom, but sometimes in our back of our mind it says, well, do I really want to know? Because He might tell me something I don't want to hear. I just assume go this way. We have to be careful not to waver, but to be completely committed to Him. The Scriptures tell us about a man who had great wisdom. Solomon, right? As a parent, I understand with increasing wisdom, with increasing understanding, I guess, of what his burden was as the king of the Israelites. 1 Kings in the 3rd chapter. This is what the Lord asked, this is what Solomon asked the Lord. I'll start with the 5th verse. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown to thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Solomon's recognizing that the Lord had worked with David as he walked before him in truth and in the uprightness of his heart. That was the condition that the Lord worked with David. And Solomon had that as well. And when he approached the Lord and he asked for, didn't specifically say he asked for wisdom, he asked for an understanding heart. And I think that this understanding heart that he desired wasn't to understand, well, what this person feels or what that person feels, is to understand what God thought of that situation when he made that judgment. To understand the Lord's will in whatever situation came. You know, the stories, the famous story about the two women that bring the baby to him, and he was able to discern who the true mother was by saying, "Just cut it in half. That way each of you get half of it." The Lord had given him the wisdom to discern truth, to understand God's will for this situation. Well, thankfully, Solomon wrote a lot. Of course, Solomon was very wise. We always call Solomon the wisest man, you know, that ever walked, because he had that gift from God. But you think about, when you study his life, he messed his life up. He went from walking with God to being drawn away after all of his wives and concubines and everything else. Wait a minute, I thought he was wise. God gave him wisdom. But it doesn't deter our choice that we still have to say, this is the way I should go, but I want to go this way. Wisdom is there to help us. It's there to guide and direct us, not to drag us, but to lead us, and we have to choose to follow it. I'm going to read some Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Every time I read something in there, it's short and it's sweet and it gets to the point and you say, yeah, that's right. And they're all pointing towards wisdom and righteousness. Proverbs, the first chapter and the first verse. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. That's the purpose of this book of Proverbs, is to learn wisdom. To know how we're supposed to live our life. To have the answers that we have, that we need. Like when Joseph Smith was going, what church do I go to? And we can know that if we go to him with, what do I do with my children? How do I discipline them? You know, like I said, being a parent has given me different understandings than I had before. You know, that when there's the battle over the toy, well, it's mine. And I think sometimes about Solomon saying, well, should I cut it in half and just see, let each of them have half of it? But it's the desire of a parent. Isn't worried about the toy. The parent is worried about the heart of their children. What can I do to help them in their life? How can I teach them self-discipline and teach them to walk in that path? That's what Solomon was asking for as king. How to lead the people in a righteous path. And these proverbs are given for us to receive instruction and wisdom. And continuing on there in the first chapter, in the seventh verse, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the first step, is the fear of the Lord. We all often think of the portrayal of our Lord as kind and loving and good, and He is. But it says we're supposed to fear Him. And I think that fear has a lot more feeling than being afraid of. Fearing is recognizing that this is the being that created the world. He created everything around about us. He created the trees that we sit on. He created each one of us. He put us here today, this day. You know, we spend lots of money going to Mars looking for life. I don't care what they find. I think it's interesting, but either way, the Lord created it. But this earth was what he gave to us. He created this earth for us. He created the universe, the stars, the planets. He created it and he can destroy it. Recognizing that his power and his glory and his might is the basis for our fear. And it's the first step towards wisdom. It's the first step to realize that, you know what? There's something out there. This being that created everything, that evolution can't explain, and science can't explain everything. That first step towards wisdom to say is, there is a God. And if there is a God, to fear Him. To fear Him for His power, to fear Him for what He can do to us, and to respect Him for what He does for us. Fear Him that this being that is so powerful and omnipotent also created a way that we can spend eternity with Him. And that was the desire of His heart the whole time. He didn't create the world and all these people just so He could have playthings. He created us to spend eternity with Him. But He didn't want... You know, I enjoy chess. It's a game I don't know, I just enjoy it. I remember playing with my grandpa all the time in Colorado. You know what? It is impossible to play a game of chess with yourself. Because invariably, well, because when I play chess, I make the move and I think, well, I hope he moves that. I hope to try and trap him. Well, if I'm the other person, I'm not going to fall for that trap, am I? So it's difficult. And that's, you know, God has been from eternity to eternity. And He gave each of us that special part of us that makes us us. Because He wanted someone that He could have a relationship with, to talk to, that would talk to Him. And He gave us that free agency to say, you know what, Lord? I don't want it. I know a better way, so I'm going to go this way. He gave that to us. Because He didn't want it to be a condition where we did it because we didn't have a choice. We were just robots. No, He wanted it to be able to us to spend eternity with Him because it was our choice and we were willing to do what was necessary. We're willing to desire that prize so much. Well, continuing on, Proverbs in the second chapter. It talks more about wisdom. Obviously, the whole book is about wisdom, but I just got a few things I'd like to pull out of it. I'll start with the fourth verse. If thou seekest her as silver, her being wisdom, and searchest forth her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That buckler, that small shield, protects us. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. When we seek this wisdom and it enters into our soul, then it has an opportunity to work with us. It's that, you know, it says right here, discretion shall preserve thee. You know, we're exposed to a situation, a temptation. And for whatever reason, there's something in us that says, you know what, this isn't right. I'm gonna stick to this path. I'm going to hold on to that rod of iron. That discretion is what helped us. You know, if we'd have gone down that path, would we have been eternally damned? No, not until we die. But we sure would have put ourselves into a lot of situations that we wouldn't have been in if we had never gone down that path in the first place. Understanding shall keep thee. Oh, I understand. This is the path I'm supposed to stay on. This is a temptation. Recognizing it for what it is. That it's an avenue that the adversary is desiring to pull us away. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom helps you recognize that temptation and see, hey, I know where that path is going to lead. It's like having a map. We're walking through the woods and there's a path that shoots off. Well, I don't know where that is going to go. But we can look at the map and say, you know what? That's going to get real difficult. And I know that right here is that rod of iron. This is the path I'm supposed to go, and it's that wisdom that tells us that. The third chapter in the fifth verse says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Trust him. Remember, he's the one that has the wisdom to begin with. He's the one that has prepared that way. He will direct your paths. You know what? Does that mean we're never going to have a problem? No. He's saying that when you get through that problem, you'll be able to turn around and say, oh. You know, experience is a great teacher. And sometimes that's the only way we learn things. And so when we ask for wisdom and we make that an error in judgment, sometimes we have to recognize, you know what, I really wasn't listening that well. And I learned what happened when I didn't, so that next time when we're exposed to a similar situation, we can say, oh, now I know. Now I have wisdom. Now I have understanding that oftentimes we don't get until we've gone through it. The 11th verse of the third chapter says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. That's one of the ways that the Lord gives us wisdom. Sometimes we have to fall flat on our face before we hit it. But he's right there to pick us back up. He's right there to say, well, did you learn anything? I think there's several ways that we learn wisdom. We learn wisdom by this discipline of God to say, I'm not going to do that again because that hurt a lot. I know now that I'm not supposed to do that. And honestly, we probably knew it beforehand, but we just needed that little kick in the pants. We also learn wisdom from these books, from instruction. That's what he prepared them for. Their whole purpose is to point us, to keep us in that path. And we have to accept them that this is the Word of God. And he has our best interest in mind. Sometimes we obtain wisdom by listening to someone who's been through a similar situation and has learned. Over in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Expounds on this, on wisdom some more. I'm gonna start with the 13th verse. This is wisdom talking. It says like it's an individual. It says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Remember that the fear of the Lord was the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge and understanding. And this says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That we understand the way God hates evil. God doesn't hate the people, but He sure hates the sin. He hates the evil. And we have to understand that that is part of wisdom, is to have that same hatred for that evil. Not for the individual, but for the sin. So that we don't even tolerate it in our life. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. If we seek the Lord, or seek wisdom early, we find it. But we have to seek it. It's not something we often stumble over. It's something we have to pursue. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. 22nd verse. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Do you think about that? This wisdom was before the creation of the earth. This wisdom is a gift of God. And this wisdom was with Him. And he gives it to us through His Spirit. Those things we talked about in Sunday school this morning, about how the Holy Spirit works with us. He works with all men, and the Holy Spirit was with God in the beginning, and so was wisdom. And God gives it to us. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree and the waters should not pass, His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily in His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, and blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, who's pursuing that wisdom, who's trying to understand, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And doing something about it, preparing himself. Not sitting around waiting, but pursuing. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. I'm willing to turn them back on the wisdom that God has given. You know, and it's something that we learn. And it's a gift from God. But we still have the choice. Solomon still had the choice, and he made a terrible decision and ruined his life and his kingdom because of it. But he had wisdom. same token, the Lord will give us wisdom. But it's still up to us to listen to it. He's given us these wisdom in these books. And He's given us His Spirit to touch our mind and our hearts. I'm going to turn over into 1 Corinthians. I'm running out of time. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Hopefully we understand what that wisdom is. And that our desire is to pursue it. 1 Corinthians, second chapter, in the sixth verse. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Remember, God ordained that wisdom before the world. That it was part of His plan for us to seek it. "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." We can't even conceive what the Lord has in store. And that's where we find ourselves at those crossroads of our life, saying, what do I do? Should I go here? Should I do this? Should I marry this person? What am I going to do with my kids? That the Lord, we can't comprehend the things the Lord has prepared for us if we love Him. And that's wisdom, to understand that, say, you know what, Lord, you know what's best. And when we have that attitude of our heart to say, okay, Lord, I need wisdom. I need to know where to go on this. And I trust You. Whatever You say. I'm not going to put any conditions on it. I'm just going to do what You tell me to do. Why? Because His desires are for us are beyond our understanding. And we don't see it. We see this far. And He sees our entire life. We have to be willing to wait upon Him and say, Lord, I trust You. And when we maintain that trust and that faith, then we're no longer going up and down and up and down. We've got something that we're focused on, and it evens out those waves. Because if we're going up and down, saying, yeah, Lord, no, Lord. Yeah, Lord, no, Lord. He told us that we're not going to get what we desire. But when we have our purpose, our goal is out of love for Him. We're going to trust Him. We're going to trust these books that they've given to us. He's not asking us to turn off our brain, to become lobotomized robots, but to trust Him. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." That Spirit is the one that communicates that wisdom to us. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know what? There's a different kind of wisdom out there. It's called the wisdom of this world. It's the ideas of some psychiatrist or psychologist saying, you know what? If you want to be content and happy in your life, you got to go do this, 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 and this. this says there's only one, and that's through God. This wisdom that's a gift of God is not... You know, go back to James in the third chapter. Kind of goes into that a little bit more. James in the third chapter, in the 13th verse. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, meaning this the wisdom that doesn't come from God, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Yeah, there's a wisdom out there that comes from this human brain and this human heart, saying, you know what? I feel that I should do this. Or I want to go do this. And you can find somebody that tell you, yeah, you're right. You should do whatever you think you should do. Whatever makes you happy, do it. Doesn't come from above. Comes from below. Comes from this natural man that's an enemy of God. And that's the fight that we're fighting our whole life, is this natural man saying, I want to do it my way. And the spiritual man says, no, I want to do it God's way. And the spiritual man saying, I want to hold on to that rod of iron. I want to do what he tells me to do. And the natural man saying, no, that way is sometimes difficult and sometimes it's uncomfortable. And this way is easy. But the end of that way is extremely difficult. We find ourselves in problems that we wouldn't be in if we had only held on to that rod of iron. You know, in the Book of Mormon, talking about, I'm just going to refer to it, in Nephi's vision, you know, with the tree of life and the fruit that was the love of God. Remember what the big building was? What did the big building represent? The wisdom of the world. Their vain imaginations. They were there pointing the finger saying, ah, you're an idiot. You know, you're working so hard trying to do what's right. And you know what? It's not worth it. It's a lot easier over here. That's the wisdom of the world saying, it's not worth it. And the wisdom of God saying, hold on. In Jacob, the third chapter. I've got a couple more and then I'll be done. Jacob, the third chapter. There's something I want to address in our prayer to God for this wisdom. Third chapter in the 9th verse. You know what? I'm just going to hop down and read the 14th and to the 16th, I guess. It says, wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from his hand. For behold, ye yourselves know that he counseleth in wisdom and in justice and in great mercy over all his works. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto him through the atonement of Christ, his only begotten Son, that you may obtain a resurrection according to the power of the resurrection which is in Christ, and be presented as the first fruits of Christ unto God, having faith and obtained a good hope of glory in him before he manifests himself in the flesh. When we approach our Lord, when it, you know, it says to ask of God, well, that's praying to him. That's asking him, saying, Lord, what do I do? and it's saying, Lord, which thing should I do? Instead of saying, Lord, I want to do this. Help me do this. Lord, I want this thing. Help me do this thing. That's counseling the Lord, saying, I've made up my mind, I'm going to do it. Lord, help me do it. And asking for wisdom, saying, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do. Does that mean we sit back and say, okay, Lord, I'm waiting, show me what to do? When Joseph Smith prayed that prayer, he was given a vision. Why? Because he had a great responsibility. He was supposed to translate the Book of Mormon. When we ask for wisdom, are we going to receive a vision? Perhaps. But it doesn't say, if you go to the Lord and ask Him for wisdom, that He'll grant you a vision. It says He'll give you wisdom. And that's an important thing to consider. He will touch your mind and your heart and help you understand His will in your life. He may open up a door that you hadn't seen before, saying, this is the path I want you to go. Can you see a vision, hear a voice? Sure. But because if you don't, doesn't mean you haven't received wisdom. If you've read these scriptures and applied them in your life, you've received wisdom. The Lord is the source of all wisdom. Back in James in the 4th chapter, the 3rd verse says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Be careful. When we ask for our wisdom, saying, Lord, I want this. Are we asking, Lord, if it's your will? If it's part of your plan, if it's going to be good for me? Then we should be praying for wisdom. Lord, help me to know. Let me see what, you know, we always in our mind say, I want to do something for the Lord, I just don't know what to do. Maybe we should seek wisdom, use the wisdom He's given us, and just serve Him. Not wait for the vision like Joseph Smith. He's commanded us what to do. To trust Him. To ask for His help. To begin our service and pray that He helps us understand His will in our life. Because if we sit back and pray the prayer that's saying, Lord, give me wisdom, and we sit back and wait, we're not pursuing wisdom. You know, it compared that wisdom to gold and to rubies and being so precious. And Lord's saying, you know, the gold's right here, but you have to get up and go get it. You have to pursue it. I'm always out of time. I'm just going to refer to it. Matthew, the 25th chapter, is a parable. And I got a lot I want to say about it, but I don't have near enough time. So I'm just going to hit the points that I really wanted to get through. It's the parable of the talents. And I'm going to paraphrase this just so that for time's sake. The parable of the talents talks about this Lord. He's going to go away to a far land. And so he gives to his, he calls the servants and gives to him one of them 5 talents, another one 2 talents, and another one 1 talent. He says, you know, take this, do what I tell you to do, and I'll be back in a while. And so he's gone for a while, and he comes back, and when he gets back, the first one comes back, and he's been given 5 talents. And the Lord asks for an accounting of his thing, of what he's done. He says, well, I still have the 5 talents you've given me, and I've used them. And I have 5 more talents. I've increased. And the one with 2 had the same experience. You know, he had 2 talents. You know, and a talent is a weight. It's a weight of money. These two servants, the profitable ones, you know, because when he receives the report, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's what we all want to hear when we die. But these guys, the only way I can relate to it is, we got some guys at work that dabble in the stock market, and this is what these guys did. I'm not in the stock market, but they used the things that God had given them for what it was necessary for. They invested in it. They bought more things. They, you know, increased the production of whatever they did. And when they did that, you know, the people at work, the guys that watch the stock market, especially, you know, there's not so much at my station, but some of the slower stations, they have the TV on the I don't know what channel it is the financial channel, where at the bottom is a ticker of all the latest prices. And they spend a good part of their day, whether they're at work or they're at home, keep an eye on, okay, what is my stock doing? Do I sell it? No. Do I keep it? You know, or do I buy this one? I look at these different stocks. They are totally consumed with what? Increasing their investment. They are pursuing it. Every waking moment, you know, they get up in the morning, they turn the TV on. Okay, where's the stock market at? This is what these guys were doing, the profitable servants, the ones who were given these things to take care of. That was their attitude towards that. Okay, when they got up in the morning, is okay, what do I do to increase this? What can I use of myself to do the work? How can I improve myself? You know, guess what? There are so many ways when we can serve. When we look for opportunities to serve. When we pursue them. The guys that are playing the stock market, they don't sit back and say, well, I hope something drops in my lap, that, you know, some stock that's worth $1,000 that I can get for $1. No, they pursue it. You know, and this parable is similar to our Savior. You know, He came and set up His church. He says, okay, I've set up my church. I've been crucified. I'm going away for a while. And I'm coming back. And I'm giving you everything you need to handle whatever comes up. He's given us our minds, our ability to think. He's given us different talents about music or language or computers or books. And we often don't recognize a talent in ourselves because, you know, we always think of ourselves, you know, I don't know anything. But if we find ourselves doing that, then, well, what can I do so that I can? Do I go to school? What can I do to improve myself to help the work? Because that is the focus. Those two profitable servants, they came back. When the Lord came back, they said, you know what? We've been doing what you expected us to do. Remember what happened to the other servant? He was given one talent. And what did he do with it? He buried it. Think about it in spiritual ways. The Lord's given each of us that Holy Spirit. And yeah, it's difficult to walk up to somebody and talk to them and about spiritual things. It's so much easier to bury it. It's so much easier to not say anything when we have an opportunity. Why? Because that's going to draw attention to us. So, I'm a Christian, but I keep that buried right here. I'm not going to show it to anybody. I'm not going to, these talents were money. And I heard a quote one time, the money is like manure. But if you look over there and you have a big pile of money, well, basically it's a big pile of manure. May not make sense. But what is that money doing over there? Absolutely nothing. What's that big pile of manure over there? Absolutely nothing but stinking. But if you take that manure and you spread it on a field, what does it do? It fertilizes it and it grows. Money is the same way. These guys recognized that, so they took that talent, that money that they've been given, and they invested it in each other. We invest in each other. We invest in doing whatever we have to do to further the work of the gospel. But the one with the one talent just sat at home. Didn't get up in the morning to check on the status of his stocks or the status of the work. Says, I'm just going to leave it right there. Why? Because I got other things I want to do. These guys that watch the stock, that is consumes them. It's their whole day's activity. Personally, I don't want to be that way. But I need to be that way about Christ. I need to be that way about the work. To consume us, our every waking thought. We take this gift that we've been given, this work, we say, well, yeah, it's valuable, but I got other things I want to do, so I'm just going to bury it over here for a little bit. Because when Christ comes back out, then I'll dig it back out when I need it. But I got other things I want to do. I want to go climb Mount McKinley, and I want to ride horseback across New Zealand or learn to fly an airplane. Unless I'm flying an airplane to be a missionary, or I'm riding a horseback across New Zealand to preach to somebody, those are all selfish. Maybe that's wisdom, I guess. Wisdom is recognizing that recognizing what God considers important and making it important to us. God is consumed with the work. Well, I can't say that. He's too big to consume. But he's conscious about it all the time. And that's the understanding heart that we're supposed to have. We want to have the same mind as God. Is to be conscious about it. The mind of God is worried about the millions of people out there that have never heard the gospel. Millions of people out there that are in chains that they don't even know about. They can't even see. And that should be our concern. It's for their souls. They're just as precious as ours. Well, I've gone well past, but hopefully I've at least given you something to think about, something to hope for and attain to. That's my desire, to obtain the knowledge, that the wisdom that I feel that I lack on many occasions. And that truly what I need to do is trust God and to seek that wisdom, pursue it, instead of and not wait for it, I guess. Well, I thank you for your time.
Let's turn to 332 for our closing song, 332. Please be mindful of the announcements this afternoon. Would you please stand as we sing this song? With me in a word of prayer. Our most kind and loving Father, we're thankful for the words that we're able to hear this day. I do pray that you might soften our hearts and help us, Lord, to look unto thee, to seek wisdom. Wisdom in our lives and the decisions that we make, wisdom in our walk of life. Oh, Father, we do ask and pray that you would help us, that we would look to wisdom. Now, Father, I pray that you go with us now this day. Help us to keep it holy before thee. And we do pray these things in the blessed name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.